Hello, this is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, and it's currently the fourth day of May 2011 here in Japan. But today I'm joined from Chile by Matias Rojas, who, of course, listeners may remember is the activist who confronted David Rockefeller at the Chilean airport not so long ago. And he has an excellent YouTube channel, NW Noticias, the links for which will be in the documentation for this interview. And if you're watching on YouTube, I'll put a link to his channel directly. Matias, it's great to talk to you, with you again. Thanks for joining us.
Great. How are you, Corbett?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, thank you. And I certainly hope things are going okay for you in Chile. Tell us again, for those who might be seeing you or hearing you for the first time, who you are, where you come from, and why you're doing what you're doing.
Well, I am a Chilean student, a 17-year-old Chilean student. This year, on January 17th, I went to the airport here in Chile, and I confronted Mr. Rockefeller from a source that I had on the media. I was able to tell him all of the things that the world resistance against the New World Order, you might say, is willing to, you know, to manifest to this man, because what he's doing and the organizations he's part of are trying to create a one world government right now, and are trying to bring the entire world into a corruption state world, police state.
Well, that's right, and you did such a good job on that video, I think, because if there's anyone who needs confronting on those issues, I think it's David Rockefeller. And I understand that you've had a bit of a follow-up about that and some information about who he was meeting with while he was here in Chile.
Well, of course, on January 22nd, 5 or 6 days after the video came out, Sebastián Piñera himself, the current president of Chile, went for vacations to one of his private homes in Loranco, the same place where Rockefeller was with Mr. Agustín Edwards, who has the biggest media consortium in Latin America. And they were having a good time there, and suddenly Piñera was going there. A newspaper called El Ciudadano, The Citizen, asked Piñera if he knew that Rockefeller was in Chile and if he was going to meet with him. Piñera said that yes, he was there, but he was not going to meet with him. But there's an interesting point that I want to make, because during his trip on a helicopter, Piñera ran out of fuel, and he had to land in the middle of the road before getting to Lago Ranco. The media went there, and they found that he was accompanied by a man called Andrés Navarro, who publicly is part of the Council of the Americas, created, of course, by Mr. Rockefeller. And this man, in his own words, he admits that he funded the campaign for Ricardo Lagos from the left, and that he's part of a democratic group of entrepreneurs that have funded and have financed Concertación, the supposed political opposition to this right-wing government of Piñera. So you have both sides of the political spectrum here in Chile being controlled by the same elite. And that is an example of how corporations are behind the scene. And, of course, this signifies that probably Navarro was there in the helicopter to see Mr. Rockefeller, given the fact that he's on the board of the Council of the Americas.
Interesting, but not really surprising, is it?
Yeah, yeah. You always have this little things in the media, but nobody ask, where this man came from or who is he, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, very interesting. Well, it sounds like much of the same type of thing that happens in everywhere else is happening in Chile, too. So no surprise. Interesting. Well, I understand that President Obama also graced your country with a visit recently.
Of course, Obama came to spread his world government rhetoric once again. This time he was accompanied by the comments of President Sebastián Piñera. And Piñera himself gave the example of how Europe survived to the two world wars, and after all of the collapse, they created the European Union as a result of the conflict. He stated that in order to fight global warming and terrorism and crime, that we must all unite and do the same thing that they did in Europe with the creation of the European Union. And he mentioned the idea of creating a free trade area for the Americas, a dream that was obviously envisioned by Mr. Rockefeller himself, David Rockefeller, with the creation of the American Society, the Council of the Americas, and a lot of other globalist think tanks pushing for this idea of a continental FTA, destroying all economic borders and independence of the member states. And that's what we are seeing with these multinational corporations that benefit from the system. They go country to country to wreck all of the resources. He didn't mention Rockefeller as the creator of this idea, but he mentioned George Bush Sr. Of course, you know that on September the 11th of 1991, I think, Bush came out and called for a new world order shaped after what the UN founders envisioned for the world. Obviously, I did a little research and came up with the fact that Bush wasn't the first to talk about a free trade zone from Alaska to Tierra del Fuego, being the south of Chile and the south of Argentina. Robert Mueller, who recently died, he was former Secretary General to the United Nations, and he wrote in many publications talking about the spiritual foundations of the United Nations as a one-world government. And he writes in his book Paradise Earth that he was the first who spoke directly to Mr. Bush Sr. about this continental idea of unification between the countries of all the Americas. So this rhetoric repeats itself, and it is not something new. It is an old idea of a one-world government that hasn't changed a lot. Also, to give you some background about who this man is, Robert Mueller, he also supported and was a big player in the creation of the Earth Charter with globalists like Maurice Strong, nurtured by the Rockefeller family and Mikhail Gorbachev. Mr. Mueller conceived Costa Rica as the capital for a one-world government, given the fact that the United Nations located the UN University for Peace and the Earth Council, created by the Rio de Janeiro Conference that was held at Rio de Janeiro in 1992. So you find a lot of world government rhetoric behind all of the globalist environmentalist movement that pushes for carbon taxes and pushes for this idea of getting rid of humans to preserve other natural life forms.
What's the understanding among the general populace there in Chile about how this agenda is proceeding and what's really behind it?
Well, many people are waking up, but it is not something, you know, general in people in this Chilean society. Many think that after the creation of this democracy, after what happened with the dictatorship, that we are all fine and we are not living in any police state, that everything is a thing of the past. They have this idea that the current government that we have is somehow a non-dictatorship and is one of the greatest democracies because, you know, we beat Pinochet with the 1973 coup and we're all fine, but that's not true. We have right now a dictatorship by the financial elites in Chile that is continuing right now.
Exactly right. Well, tell us about the police state there.
Well, in terms of the police state, very important things are happening in Chile. It's growing faster and faster. We have this so-called bomb case where we have this group of 17 supposed anarchists being detained with little evidence to prove that they were involved in those bombs that constantly go off in Santiago de Chile. Days before Obama was here, a new anarchist group appeared. They reportedly blew up a noise bomb in a residential area. They sent an email to the media and said that the next target was going to be in a school. All of this in the context of Obama's visit. So they were trying to create like a false flag operation to somehow watch the minds of the police before Obama was here. And I think that was the reason why the police that day was so, freaked out, because we had our Obama posters, Obama Joker posters out there. And, a group of seven police came right in the middle of it for no reason at all. And seven of us were detained for only being a stand there with those banners. We have, Sebas Chauhan, the main prosecutor of Chilean justice, calling for electronic surveillance and covert operations under the current Chilean government. We have thumb scanning machines being just announced to be implemented in all Chilean stadiums to fight crime. supposedly to fight crime. We have an increased number of police in the streets, 10,000 more police in the streets, and implementation of technologies right out of New York with telescreens in Viña del Mar as a beta test to what they want to do here in Chile more and in a more massive way, I think. And of course, you have the case of Rodrigo Hinspeter, the current Minister of Interior of Chile, who publicly said in the media that here in Chile we have, you know, an Al-Qaeda group, and that he was incriminating directly the Pakistani citizen Mohammed Saif Rehman Khan, that was later considered declared innocent after they didn't found enough proof to say that he was part or he was linked to terrorist activities. Wayne Madsen, this investigative reporter, did an interesting report doing a parallel between Operation Gladio in Europe and current bomb attacks being blamed to anarchist groups. Wayne Madsen mentioned the fact that that Hinspeter had been called a militant of the Israeli cause by Senator Eugenio Tuma here in Chile. So you also have a lot of representation of the Zionists in the face of Rodrigo Hinspeter with what happened recently with the Pakistani case here in Chile, trying to inject this idea of Arab Muslim, you know, radicalism of Al-Qaeda here in Chile and in South America.
Right. The Pakistani case, Mohammed Saif Rehman Khan, is an interesting case, but I'm sure probably a lot of the viewers and listeners haven't heard of it before. Maybe you can just give us the basics about that case.
Saif Rehman Khan is a student, and he came here to study languages in the early 2010. When he was here on May, they called him from the U.S. Embassy. A man called Bill told him that he, you know, you must go to the U.S. Embassy because we want to check your name. And he went there. He was a little suspicious about why they wanted to check his name. But when he arrived, he put his cell phone, you know, on the entrance because you cannot enter with a cell phone to the embassy. So he put his cell phone. He entered to a room. They asked for his documents. And he was held in a room for about 1 hour. And then the police came in and said that they found, you know, traces of explosives on his cell phone, the same cell phone that he left at the entrance and the documents that he had given. So and then they applied the anti-terrorism laws here in Chile to this young Pakistani. But the inconsistencies are that they checked his hands, and the hands were clean. So, but the cell phone that he left in the entrance, you know, was with this explosive material. So how can that happen? I mean, it's a big inconsistency. And obviously, you have PDI, investigation police, entering to his home while he was in the embassy. The police took pictures of them being dressed as civilians, and they entered to his home. They were there for 20 minutes, and nobody knows now what they did in that place. But after they get out of there, they found more supposed traces of explosives. So it was a big frame.
It certainly was, and in the end, he was cleared of all charges, right?
Of course, yes. And we have this WikiLeaks release confirming that the Israeli embassy trained a lot of PDI officials so they can know how to fight terrorism. So there's some link between that, because it was the PDI who entered to his home and was looking, you know, to put him something on him, to put something on him.
Right. A fascinating case, and I understand you did a documentary about it.
Of course, I'm trying to translate the documentary. I don't have too much time because I'm now studying in college journalism, but I'm doing my best to have it translated for May 10th. That is the 1 year anniversary of this case. And we as Chileans, as Chilean resistance, we are trying to make something on that day to ask our government for a new investigation of what happened.
Exciting. I certainly hope that you can do that. And I know that you've been putting out a lot of videos in the past at NW Noticias, maybe not so much now that you're at university, but what kind of things are you working on right now?
Well, personally, I'm trying to do a documentary on the buying of the lands in the south of Chile. We have Douglas Tompkins, and I found a newspaper from a lot of years ago where they admit that to buy all of that land that cut the country in two, they are asking for money from foundations like the Ford Foundation and the Rockefeller Foundation. And we have, you know, in Argentina, in the south of Argentina, in the Patagonia, they are also buying lands. So I am interviewing some people that know about this, and I want to make a documentary about that. Also, I translate a lot of Alexion's videos, some of your videos as well. But as I say, I don't have too much time right now to translate the amount of videos that I translated in the past because of my college. But I am trying to balance my time and do the best I can to inform people. And in Santiago de Chile, I go sometimes to do this little street actions like We Are Changed Thus in the United States and all over the world right now. You have chapters of We Are Changed all over the world now. So it was, I'm doing what I can to, you know, to wake up people.
Absolutely, and you seem to be doing quite a good job from what I've seen, quite an amazing job considering that you're a full-time student as well. Well, so you're studying journalism. I assume that the long-term career plan is to become a journalist and to start reporting on
yes.
real information.
Of course. Here we have a monopoly of media in Chile, and of course in the United States it is the same thing. But I think that all citizens must be journalists in their own sense, spreading the word, spreading the truth, spreading information. And I think it's in all of us to do something, a little something every day to wake more people up.
Well, that's a message that resonates strongly with me, and I'm sure with many of the listeners and viewers out there. And I certainly encourage it as well. People need to get active and to spread this information, and we all need to become journalists in a sense, or at least purveyors of information. So I my hat's off to you and all the work you're doing. All right, Matias, anything else you'd like to leave the viewers with today?
I know that's my message. I mean, the other thing that I wanted to talk about is that here in Chile, when we had this protest on the day Obama was here, the police came to us and they asked for our IDs. And in the minute we gave them our IDs, seven of us were detained. So here in Chile, of course, we don't have the Fourth Amendment like in the U.S. Constitution. So I want to give a message to U.S. Citizens so they can preserve the rights that they have, that those precious rights in the Constitution that we in Chile don't have. You know, we have a Constitution that has brought a lot of laws that were put in the dictatorship in 1973, and our Constitution has to be rebuilt here in Chile. That's my message. You know, you have to protect your rights that you have in the United States with the Constitution. It's a precious thing.
It's a good point, and one that's not made often enough. Here in Japan, police have extraordinary powers to detain citizens without much reason and without much recourse. So again, it is extremely interesting and extremely rare to find societies where those types of rights are enshrined, and when they are, they have to be jealously guarded because the tendency is always
yes.
to try to take them away from the people. So it's a good point.
That's why the elite wants to bring down the United States. Of course.
Absolutely, and a big part of that is the free trade of the Americas, and of course Rockefeller has been influential in that, so the work that you've been doing trying to expose that in Chile is very important as well. All right, Matias, I think that's all for today, so I would once again direct people to your excellent YouTube channel, and I hope to see the English translation of the Pakistani case sometime in the near future. But at any rate, I'll be looking forward to all your work in the future. Thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you, Corbett.